Our next speaker is Dr. Wendy Green, Chief of Acute Care and Critical Care Services at Emory University, who's going to speak to us about management of breast abscesses.
Is Green? What's the name?
Dr. Green.
Good morning. I have no disclosures. I'd like to have some hands in the audience raised. Do acute care surgeons follow best practices for breast abscess management? How many use a needle? How many use a scalpel? All right. Well, let's see if we can clear up this debate. Now, when somebody has a breast abscess, they present with flu-like symptoms, fever, malaise, myalgia, breast pain, tenderness, warm erythema, swelling, firmness, and a well-circumscribed fluctuant mass, as seen here in the picture. This is most commonly found in the lactational breast, and the risk factors for that are the first pregnancy at maternal age over 30 years, pregnancy more than 41 weeks of gestation, and mastitis. In the non-lactational premenopausal breast, we'll usually find this in the subareolar area as opposed to in the periphery that you'll find in the lactational breast. This usually occurs as a result of duct obstruction, and the risk factors associated with these patients developing breast abscesses are the obese patient, smokers, and the diabetics. Now, what investigational tools should you use? The ultrasound, of course, is the most useful for the initial workup. You can identify the hypoechoic lesion. It will be a circumscribed, macrolobulated, sometimes irregular area on your ultrasound, as identified here in these particular ultrasound diagrams. Now, are there anybody out there who would use a mammography? Of course not. You know how painful that is, squeezing down on an abscess, a painful breast? No, you wouldn't want to use that. It is most useful after the acute phase has resolved. It'll help you identify underlying lesions, and if you did use it in the early phase, it's very nonspecific. You want to try to get cultures, whether from the expressed milk, you can get an upstream needle aspiration sample, and if you find this to be a recurrent disease, you want to check the infant and the mother for oral and nasal cultures. Of course, in the lactational breast, if there's cracked skin, the oral flora from the newborn can get into those ducts and cause infection. So usually the outpatient management consists of antibiotics for 7 to 10 days. Make sure that you avoid those antibiotics that are often toxic to those that are younger than 2 months of age and get to early referral for evaluation. Now, if they're septic or rapidly deteriorating, hemodynamically unstable or immune compromised, you want to make sure that you get to surgical evaluation and intervention with drainage and antibiotics. So what surgical intervention should be used for this fluctuant abscess? Needle aspiration with an 18 to 21 gauge needle, using your adequate local anesthesia with ultrasound, with or without ultrasound guidance, can be very helpful. When you use the ultrasound guidance, you can see the collapse of the cavity very well. And once the pus has been aspirated, the abscess cavity should be irrigated thoroughly. You may have to do multiple aspirations, so you want to monitor these patients carefully. This is your ultrasound of your breast abscess and your needle going into your into the abscess cavity. Now, when should you do a mini incision and drainage? If the skin overlying the abscess is necrotic, thin, or shiny, you need to infiltrate your local anesthetic, use a small stab incision over the maximum point of fluctuation, and if you need to, excise some of the necrotic tissue and irrigate. Now, for a larger IND, we'll do this with those abscesses that are greater than 5 centimeters in diameter. Avoid placement of percutaneous drains, as they rarely have a role now in modern-day management of breast abscesses. The disadvantages to the incision and drainage technique: prolonged healing time, dressing changes, difficulty in breastfeeding, risk for milk fistulas, and poor cosmesis. be reminded that the infant can often be a great way to help drain the breast, and you want to have access to the nipple areolar complex, as well as some expression techniques with pumps. So avoid the drains because you'll have a poor result and poor cosmesis. So chronic complications that can occur: scarring, recurrent breast infections, significant breast deformity, functional mastectomy that leads to effectively inability to lactate because of significant tissue destruction, a draining sinus, and mammary fistulas. So, do acute care surgeons follow best practices for breast abscess management? Well, a single institution study says that we do. We, in fact, overutilize needle aspiration, which actually is good for the patient. So although it's not endorsed or developed by a breast society, the breast surgery community has recommended needle aspiration as first-line treatment for breast abscesses. If they're less than 5 centimeters on ultrasound, there are no skin changes. The presence of skin changes were defined as ulceration, desquamation, or frank extrusion of purulence. If there is simple cellulitis, you can do it. Fewer than 5 days of symptoms with pain, swelling, and redness. So in summary, the advantages of needle aspiration: superior cosmesis, shorter healing time, avoidance of general anesthesia, with some disadvantages being multiple aspirations and close follow-up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Green. Do we have any questions from the audience? I see someone coming down the...
When do you obtain a biopsy of the breast?
So after the inflammatory phase has settled down, you can then bring them back after the acute phase has settled down. You can go through your formal studies of your mammography and identification or repeat ultrasonography, and then do your biopsies at those times. Now, if there is significant indications of or there's a concern or suspicion for malignancy, underlying malignancy, then yes, you would go forward with a biopsy at that time. Otherwise, if you try to do it during the acute inflammatory phase, and you may just biopsy necrotic tissue, you may not actually get a good sampling of the targeted area that you're of concern.
I had a question. Sometimes breast thrombophlebitis can mimic a breast abscess. Do you have any help on how to differentiate those two entities?
So for the ultrasound is very helpful in identifying the hypoechoic cavity. So if you don't see that hypoechoic cavity, then that would be indicative more of an abscess as opposed to the thrombophlebitis. That would be a helpful adjunct in determining breast abscess versus thrombophlebitis.
I have another question. So I have always struggled with who is the patient who I worry about having an underlying breast cancer. Is it really an underlying breast cancer, or is it an incidental finding? And can you tell me, I'm still not quite sure, if you have a 22-year-old with a lactational breast abscess, do you really follow all those patients up with mammography?
Thank you. So the question was about the being able to follow these patients with mammography. No, you would use your clinical judgment, the patient's family history, but if they are having a recurrent problem with duct obstruction, you may have to go in and actually excise that duct out. So it may not be for malignancy reasons, but it may be for recurrent infections. So mammography will be based upon family history that you have garnered in your history and physical.
Thank you very much.